From the Middle is proud to be a founding member of Odd Pods Media. Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 182 of From the Middle, a comedy, culture, entertainment, and interview-style podcast hosted by three middle-class guys living in the middle of America in the middle chapters of our lives with points of view that generally fall somewhere in the middle. And if you're not sure what that is, well, we're just three dudes that like to talk about what's going on in our life. And sometimes that has to do with our family and our jobs and what we're streaming and the things that we find interesting, which is usually geek culture and sometimes college sports and all the things. In this episode, we talk a little bit about Las Vegas and the Gaither Vocal Band. If you never thought those two things would be in the same anything, well, they are this week, as well as a bunch of the things we're streaming and the game that happened between Michigan and Ohio State that may or may not be rematched in the college football playoff. So it's just a good episode catching up after an episode with a guest last week. Hope you enjoy it. Kendall, hit that intro music.
Oh, for the love. Sorry, just clearing my Mountain Dew hole.
I got my phone hole clean today.
That's where you keep it?
You're so cerebral, and you're so developed and evolved.
From the Middle after dark over here.
So we were talking a lot about food before we clicked record. Guess which fast food franchise? Rock out with your guac out. So I have a food question, two food questions for you guys.
Yes.
This is it might get philosophical here. Mm-hmm. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yeah. There's a whole podcast on that. Did you know that?
I didn't.
It's called A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. That's the name of the podcast. It's connected to Good Mythical Morning Guys.
Oh, nice.
There's a spinoff cooking show,
okay,
called Mythical Kitchen, and the guy who runs that is teamed up with someone else, and they do this podcast titled This Very Question.
So they came to that conclusion. They're saying that it is,
or at least he did. Josh,
all right, here's another one based on that. Is cereal soup? Now, before you say soup is hot, there are cold soups.
There indeed are. Cold soups.
And if soup is just liquid with chunks in it, is cereal soup?
Not even liquid with chunks in it, right?
You can't even say cereal is like dairy-based, because a lot of soups are dairy-based.
That's right.
I want to go to a really high-end hotel next time, and I want the lobby area that serves food to say breakfast soups, where they put all the cereals.
Breakfast soups.
I want all the cereals out in really nice fancy bins with like the huge spoon that's meant for like candies in a bin that are gold. And yeah. I want to say breakfast soups in like a really fancy cursive writing. And you've got gold spoon shovels for breakfast soup cereals.
Dude, you should set up an entire restaurant that is just intended to be like the most upsetting restaurant ever. And it would, you would have cereal and it would be called breakfast soups, and you would have sandwiches and it's just a bunch of fancy hot dogs.
Yeah. This I'm fine. I'd still ball out there. I'd eat everything. It sounds delicious.
Dylan, you didn't answer either question. You just said you liked the idea. So do you think that a hot dog is a sandwich, and do you think that cereal is a soup?
The first answer is yes. I do think a hot dog is a sandwich. The second answer is, why not? Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like for the hot dog is a sandwich one, there are far too many yeah buts there as soon as you start thinking about it, right? Because then you're like, is a hero's a sandwich, right? So like the fact that that you've got a bun with a hinge instead of two separate things, like that doesn't mean a thing, right? And you could certainly, if you were to take a hot dog and cut it in half and take two hot dogs, cut them both in half, so now you have four short hot dogs, and lay them across and make a traditional sandwich with two slices of bread, nobody would argue that that's a sandwich,
right?
So the ingredients are the exact same. Why not? A hot dog's a sandwich.
And if you take a bunch of long cylindrical Italian meats and slice them and lay them on a bun, that's certainly a sandwich. So do I have to take a hot dog and slice it like pepperoni and salami and lay it out across the bun for it to be a sandwich? Because I'll do it. I don't care.
Yeah. What is a hot dog really?
It's a sandwich.
Other than a tiny log of bologna. Yep.
And we've talked about this before. There are all kinds of categories of cars. I think it's okay to just say that Jeep is also its own category. I think you can call it a sport utility vehicle. I think you can also just say a Jeep is a Jeep. And it's unique enough that it can be on its own. I think a hot dog is a sandwich. But if you also want to go so far as to say a hot dog is also just a hot dog, I would be fine with that.
Interesting.
Okay, thought I'd ask. And I think Kendall wins this argument, just like his team won the game. So we had a guest last week. We had Jordan McLaughlin. If you hadn't heard, go back and listen to that episode. Congratulations to the University of Michigan on winning the game.
Two is a trend.
Two is a trend. If in case you missed it, two episodes ago, we talked about creating a friendly wager. We don't really bet seriously, but we thought it'd be fun if Dylan and I would have to eat something that we didn't like in an effort to sort of kick off Dylan's idea of the what do you want to call it? Like a game?
It's a segment.
A segment called One Last Shot, where we try foods that we don't like. We both rooted for the Ohio State University. And if they would have won, Kendall would have had to give a food he doesn't like one last chance. So we need to figure out how to do that the next time we're in person. I have some fun ideas that involve a situation similar to the game Memory, where you set up a grid of cups turned over and underneath them are things we do like as well as those things that we really hate.
That could be interesting.
And so we'll come up with a fun way to do it. But Sherry shared this fact with me. According to Fox, 17 million people watched Michigan versus Ohio State.
Yeah.
That's more than, every NBA Finals and NBA game, every World Series and MLB game, every Stanley Cup and NHL game, the Rose Bowl, Kentucky Derby, the Masters, the Indy 500, and the Daytona 500.
Combined!
Not really. I mean, if you think about it, it was the biggest game in college football all year, regardless of teams. You had two 11-0 teams, which has happened exactly twice, play each other at the end of a season. And it was the Michigan-Ohio State game, but it had all this other stuff riding on it. You had all kinds of teams, especially the teams that are right around the cutoff for the playoff, we're paying attention to that game for their own obvious reasons and for their own interests. Everything lined up for it to be huge. And you think about the fact, too, that this could be the last time that we see a college football game that important with the expanded playoff coming now, and not next season, but the one after that. All of a sudden, you've got these games. It'll matter to Michigan and Ohio State because of the rivalry, but to everyone else, it's just, you know, they're taking 12 teams, right? So you're going to figure Michigan and Ohio State, they're both getting in. What's the point? This will probably be the last time we see a game of that magnitude.
Here's a question you don't have to answer. If Ohio State and Michigan rematch in the national title, will we break TV and internet, the whole infrastructure?
I don't think it'll match the game because so many teams just won't be interested in it. So many parts of the country won't care.
Right. I think Kendall's point is about where it fell in the season. It happening again has less implications, and the game has already been played in a lot of people's minds. But yeah, the implications are not as strong. But the fact that there's a chance that it could happen again is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, people in Michigan and Ohio are crazy about it. Yeah.
It'll also be the only game on by that point.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to drive very far to find people who are big football fans who don't really care about college.
Sure. Yeah. That's always going to be true. I think it's interesting. And I that stat is staggering, that
it is absolutely,
it beat out so many other very prominent sporting events.
Yeah.
So Dylan, what are a couple of the foods that we might have to eat in our little game? What's on your list of foods that you hate that you'd be willing to give one last shot?
I mean, I don't want to give any of these one last shot, but that's the bit, right? So like, the idea is we have to go in with an open mind and not just immediately dismiss it, unless it's that horrible and it's just as bad as we remember. I don't like raw onions. They're terrible. So I don't want, but I don't really want any kind of onions on anything ever. So you could give me Funyuns. You could give me onion rings. You could give me raw onions. Maybe even worst of all, you could give me a McDonald's cheeseburger with their oniony juice bin of onions on top of that bun. You could give me an onion bun for a regular burger. Any of those would be pretty horrendous. Yeah.
Is diced onions in their own onion juice a soup?
Yeah,
maybe we should have Dylan answer that question for us.
Yeah, we should, along with what else is on his list.
Is the bottle French, I think would help answer the question.
So here's some other things on Dylan's list. We've got plain tomatoes or tomato slices, black eyed peas, holiday fruit cakes or fruit quake Mountain Dew, eggnog, blue cheese, anything, and sauerkraut. I've also got sauerkraut, beets, black licorice, and animal organs.
I don't like black licorice either. And blue cheese is terrible. That would be up there for me with onions, to have to just sit and eat blue cheese.
So they played a round of this on Bad Friends, where they had, like I said, a big grid of styrofoam cups turned upside down, and you were just pick each. They would go back and forth and just pick. Some of the things were good. Some of the things were bad. I forget what made you have to choose again. Maybe if it was a good thing you had to choose again, that would make sense. Anyway, they just went until all of the foods on the table were gone, and it was just a lot. So anyway, we'll think of something fun the next time we're in person. But man, it would be interesting if our teams go head to head again in the college football playoff. Great episode last week. I couldn't be here. I was in Vegas for work. You guys were awesome. I loved getting a chance to quote unquote meet Jordan. I thought his story was super interesting. His games look fun. Kendall, you're going to have to share the wealth of some of what got dropped off so we can play.
Indeed, yeah.
Go back and listen to that episode. It's trending pretty well on YouTube too. I think Jordan shared it out to all of his followers over at Rookie Mage Games. And you guys did so awesome. It was fun to listen in and not have had nothing to do with the episode.
We missed your presence. I'm sure you would have asked some artistic questions that we're too normal to think of. And yes, you were in Vegas. I'm wearing my Las Vegas Serpents hat in honor of your trip to Las Vegas.
I like that the hat changes each time. It was a ton of fun. I'll just be real quick about the Vegas trip. A couple of things that stood out to me. So in case you didn't know, I work for Amazon AWS. AWS has their biggest conference of the year called reInvent, which this year just happened to be in Vegas, where 50 to 60,000 IT professionals converge in one major city and hang out and talk tech and the cloud and blah, blah, blah. I am always offering to my wife to come with me on these trips. And because I had a nice room at the Bellagio looking at the fountains in the strip, I said, why don't you come along? And she's like, no, thanks. That town doesn't interest me whatsoever. But my mom said, I'll join. And so Dylan and I's mom joined me on my trip. She's been working really hard with her small business and was just looking forward to a week of relaxing and thought, I'll go to the Bellagio. They have a pool that's heated to 84 degrees. It'll be lovely. She forgot that the desert too gets cold in November, late November and December. So it was like 60 degrees or below each day. But she still joined. It was a lot of fun. A couple things that were surprising or interesting. I saw when I was Ubering from the airport to my hotel that they have an In-N-Out in Vegas. I knew that there were primarily West Coast locations and that there were a few others scattered in like Texas and a few other places. But was like, I'm definitely doing that while I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to try, you know, Postmates, Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, any of them, and thought, I'll just have some In-N-Out delivered while I'm at the Bellagio. Did you know that In-N-Out corporate franchise has an agreement with exactly zero food delivery places because they want to keep it mom and pop and hard to get? And so you actually have to go to a place to get an In-N-Out burger, which I've been having a hankering for.
How old fashioned.
Right. Makes sense for their brand. So that was interesting. And but did eventually get it at the Link Hotel. They have like an outdoor shopping area, very similar to what we're familiar with here with East End and Polaris, and got myself an In-N-Out double-double or two. So anyway, I knew I was there. The primary, you know, reason I was there was to do these meetings at the executive summit, which was a part of reInvent, meant very long days. My colleagues and I would go out to dinner, however, afterwards. And I'm very aware my mom's by herself in a hotel room, which she was there to do. She knew that I was going to be working very long days. But I said to my colleagues, if it doesn't change the vibe too much of dinner and the team dinner, if there was a night that my mom could come out, which would be the best night for that? And the lady that was kind of leading the stuff for the week said, how about Tuesday? So my mom came out, got dressed up, got to meet my colleagues, which was really fun because it's people that I've talked about for 2 years now. So she's getting to put some faces with names. We had this lovely, fancy, elevated Americana sort of dinner. I did have animal organs because I had duck liver on top of some really nice pork that was delicious. But anyway, we're having a good time. At some point in the conversation, it gets mentioned that our mom used to sing, still sings, but used to sing a lot more often. And somebody says, let's do karaoke. And we are all like, haha, that's not actually going to happen. Well, long story long, we ended up going to a Korean karaoke place.
Wonderful.
And the lady whose idea it was happens to be Chinese and spent a lot of time in Korean karaoke places. And she's like, the Korean ones are legit. So in the Midwest, how we do karaoke is at a big sports bar or bar on a 6-inch elevated platform, you have to put your name on a list and wait for a really long time and sing in front of like 100 people on a good night at karaoke. Korean karaoke is individual rooms for your party and your party alone. And you get a little small room for just y'all and a big TV. So it's way more private. Everybody can sing as much or as often as you want. And you just pay by the hour. We were there until midnight. Our mom started with Lights by Journey and absolutely leveled the room. It was so,
nice.
It was so cool. Because like at Midwest karaoke, nobody wants you to be good. In fact, if you're actually trying or taking it seriously, I find anyway, and Kendall, you've been in a lot of bars and played music at a lot of places. If you're doing karaoke at places, people are like, he's taking it seriously. Boo. We're here to have fun and be drunk and sloppy and sing girls just want to have fun. Boo. But this was like you encouraged each other and there were all varying levels of skill. And so it just made it so much more fun with the private room setup. I loved it. We had a blast and it will definitely go down as one of those things I never thought would happen on a work trip. Singing karaoke with my colleagues at all, let alone my mom, until midnight in Vegas. It was so much fun. And I've got videos. And my favorite part, and then I'm done, is me convincing one of my colleagues to sing a Whole New World. I was going to be Aladdin and he was going to be Jasmine. and it was the best.
Did you do any gambling while you were there?
I didn't. In fact, one of my colleagues said, hey, I have a $5 poker chip from the Bellagio from like 8 or 10 years ago. I'm not staying at the Bellagio. You are. Take this chip, put it on black, and just see what happens at the roulette table. So I like, oh, I didn't plan on doing any gambling. So I take the $5 poker chip. My mom and I walk in that night after karaoke, and I'm like, $5 on black. And he's like, it's a $15 table. And I'm like, see you later.
Yeah, it's so everything's so expensive in Vegas. Like
so expensive.
The maybe it used to be, I don't know. It had to come from somewhere, the idea that Vegas could be a cheap getaway spot, and that, like, as long as you're gambling, like, you're going to get free rooms and cheap food and that kind of thing. Maybe it used to be that way, man, but the one time that I've been to Vegas, everything's expensive and you're paying out of the nose for, like, if you want to eat out, like, you're going to pay out the nose for it. Your room is expensive. Gambling, like, you cannot play a hand of blackjack for less than $20. You just can't.
Yeah.
So if you think about the people who've got to, like, sit there and get going and that kind of thing, like, you can't do anything for less than $20 there in a casino. It's crazy.
You're right. And my mom even said that. So she was there when she was 33. She's 60 now. So 27 years ago, she was there, and she was in the old section of Vegas. So a lot of the older casinos. And she said that was the deal. Like, the buffets were stupid cheap because they just wanted you to be there and gamble. Everything was cheap because they just wanted you in their establishment gambling, right? I went in 2016, stayed at the Cosmopolitan, and thought, man, this place is crazy expensive. But it's weird because we were at the Bellagio, and, like, so my mom was going to be in the room every day, and all she wants every morning is her chai drink, her hot chai. And so we're like, oh, she'll be able to have a little coffee pot. They don't have coffee pots in the room anymore in many of the hotels because they want you to do everything either at a restaurant or room service. And they don't have microwaves. And the mini fridge that you want to bring stuff in and stock is already stocked. It's a, you know, and stocked with stuff. And you're paying $6 for every can of pop that you pull out of it. So you can't even put your leftovers from the night before in the mini fridge. So no microwave, no coffee pots, no space in the mini fridge. And you're like, I'm at this massive hotel casino, but in a weird way, I'm still really far away from any food or, like, basic sustenance. And when there's 50 to 60,000 people in town for one of the 25 conferences and expos that are going on, you're like, I dare not even take an Uber to a restaurant because chances are I won't get a table and would have wasted my Uber. Yeah. So you're just, like, walking a mile to find a water for $10. It's weird. It's a weird feeling. Like, you're in the middle of everything and can get nothing.
I blame Chevy Chase.
Yeah. I will say that if you budget for it, like, you could legitimately go to any one of the major resort hotels and not leave the grounds and have a legitimate, like, vacation.
Oh, 100%.
You have to budget for it because it's not going to be cheap, but it would be cheaper than, like, flying to someplace else to get away from it all.
Yeah.
Like, you could go to MGM and just not leave MGM, and it won't feel like you haven't left your hotel. Like, there's just so much diversity of things to do in each of those hotels, and there's, like, 8 swimming pools. And
exactly. But, like, yeah, you have to budget for it. We did room service one night. One bowl of General So and 2 pops, $60. That includes the $8 or $9.50 operational charge, whatever that means. And then I said, is your tip included in this? And he said, no. So a bowl of General So, 2 cans of pop, operational charge and tip, $60.
Wow.
So, and the General So was meh. But you're right there at the Bellagio, and we watched the fountain all day, every day, and whatever. It was still cool. So yeah, Vegas was interesting and fun. And but yes, I hated missing last week, but it was good hearing you guys.
That's awesome. I feel like I don't want to, like, come in and override your story with how cool of a time you had. We did go see the Gaithers. I think this was alluded to several weeks ago.
I can't wait to hear about this.
If you're not familiar with the Gaither vocal band, first of all,
you're not.
You're all well aware. But seriously, though, so Gaither vocal band would be like a... it's not a quartet. It's a group of... typically guys. I don't know that there's ever been like a permanent female member of the vocal band, but it's a group of Christian men who sing together. They're often accompanied by other singing groups that could be solo artists or families or whatever that they'll kind of tour with, especially around the Midwest of the United States, but certainly probably everywhere. I would say they were, does it feel fair to say they would have been at their peak of popularity 20 years ago? Does that feel accurate to both of you?
20, 30, 40 years ago? Yeah.
20, 30, 40, 60 years ago. And they were going to be performing in the greater Columbus, Ohio area. My father-in-law is a big fan. And so for Christmas, my wife and I got us and him a ticket to go see the Gaithers, the Gaither Vocal Band in greater Columbus. And I think their website is just like gaithers.com or something. So you can go check that out if you want. But this was their Christmas tour. So we knew there was gaither.com maybe. So we knew it was very likely they were going to do some traditional Christian songs and then mostly Christmas music. Great time to give you a sense of the audience. If there was any more perfume or hairspray in the building, we could have probably triggered a 2-hour fog delay, just to give you an idea of the nature of the audience.
What would you say the mean or the average age there of the concert goers would have been?
I don't remember the last time I was the youngest person anywhere that I went.
It's higher or lower than 80?
I was thinking high 60s, low 70s.
Oh, really? Probably, that young?
Was probably it. Certainly a vast majority retired. I think we can say that. A vast okay, majority
right,
are no longer actively part of the workforce. Right. It certainly leaned itself towards a bluer haired audience, and it was a lot of fun for anybody who you might know the name Mark Lowry. Mark Lowry was there. He helped. He wrote the song "Mary, Did You Know?" and another artist came up with the music for it. He was a comedian and somebody that we knew, sort of my mom was an acquaintance of Mark Lowry when we were kids. So we spent some time around the Gaithers and Mark Lowry a bit. And it was a lot of fun. I think the sort of emotion that would best summarize how I felt, it was highly nostalgic for me. This is music and these are people that we would have, even though some of the individual performers could have been swapped out with artists from the last 30, 40, 50 years, it feels just like everybody else who would have performed with the Gaithers over the last 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And our grandparents, especially on my mom's side, there was a lot of relatives. So we spent a lot of holidays and vacations around older relatives. And so you're seeing people that are very, very much remind you of some of those people that you would have spent time with growing up, or Corey and I. So it was a lot of fun. It was very sweet. It was a nice show. I have to say, for Mr. Gaither being as old as he was, they came out and in the first few minutes they're chit-chatting on stage, and he said, "We'll be done around 10:10. And to the minute, hours before he's saying this, to the minute he's got down what time the show was going to end, including an intermission and any delays that might have come up. So still very sharp. Mark Lowry still sounds exactly like Mark Lowry, if you're into that kind of thing. And we had a great time. It was a ton of fun. And all of those retirees would have been proud with how efficiently we got the car out of the parking lot.
You said... You sent some videos to Mom and I, and it looked like you had really good seats.
We did. Yes. In the words of Jurassic Park, spared no expense.
Yeah. You're very close. The pensioners have a budget to be mindful of, but you guys could get better seats. Also, I don't recognize any members of the band anymore other than Bill. I don't know the names of the guys.
Yeah, well, that's what's funny. So we went back the next day. We were with my wife's parents, the in-laws, and we're talking a little bit about the concert. And my mother-in-law says the same thing. I don't know that I know who any of them are. And I said, frankly, I don't either. They're really very interchangeable with every other voice that's sang with them. And I don't mean exactly. Certain voices would have, like somebody like Guy Penrod, if that name means anything to a listener, as more of a unique voice than some others. But it doesn't really matter is the point. Like, they have their little comedic shtick. They have it down pat. They come out and make some jokes. They sing their songs. It's very sweet. It makes you feel good. It's like Mark Lowry did two songs, Mary Did You Know being one of them. The first one was he did a cover of What a Wonderful World. And by the end of it, he's slow dancing with a 90 plus year old woman in the aisle named Doreen, because why not? Because why frickin' not? And then he goes on to make jokes about how dogs go to heaven and cats go to hell, you know? And so, like, it's a shtick that they're so good at that you can show up and let it happen to you, and let the aromas and smells invade your nose, and you enjoy the show and you're glad that you went.
And there was no shortage of Werther's Originals in your aisle. You could have asked anyone.
Yeah, it probably came out more sarcastic than I meant it. The ticket, obviously, finding your seat is not hard. Rows, numbers, you know, hone in, zero in. And so somebody who was trying to be helpful said, oh, good, you found your seat. And I just, the first thing that popped into my head said, college degree finally came in handy, you know. Mm-hmm. So I managed to find the seat. But you know what the smell odor, do you know what the odor reminded me of? And I've tried to recount this a few times. Do you remember how when we were kids, so 30 something years ago, some company, I don't know even who, Bed Bath & Beyond wasn't really a thing yet. And companies were trying really hard to like encapsulate the smell of Christmas in a tall metal can that was like as big as a can of Lysol. And people would go around spraying these smells. Do you remember these? Our mother and grandmother, it'd be like cinnamon, but it was like, that's like burning fuel and cinnamon. That's not exactly like a cinnamon flavor. And so companies were trying really hard to encapsulate these Christmassy type smells for the holidays that you could go spray around your house. And they weren't very good. I distinctly remember as a kid even thinking, this isn't that close to what you're pushing here. That's kind of what it reminded me of. A lot of those folks came from houses that they're still using cans of that spray from approximately 30 years ago. And God bless them, you know, it just all sort of melded together in the room. And so it was a great time.
Oh, that's
fun. Makes me happy.
Yep. Thank you for sharing. We can't wait to hear what Kendall's been up to, but we're going to have to wait until after we hear from a quick word from some of our friends at OddPods Media.
I'm Richie, a.k.a. Midnight Agent Raw.
I'm Devin, a.k.a. Special Delivery Dev.
We're the Super Media Bros Podcast. And each week, we give a comedically informative take on movies,
music,
television,
pro wrestling,
and much more. Check us out at supermediabrospodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can listen to podcasts. Shades on.
We're off.
Kendall, what's shaking and baking in your world, my friend?
Oh man, I had the vid, the COVID.
Finally gotcha.
Finally got me. Had it last week. Actually while we were recording. And I didn't like get it at Drinker, like we recorded remotely, and I had COVID during recording. I should clarify that. I'm fine. It was fine. It was good. It was my daughter got it as well, and then no one else in the family, just us, and it's gone now. It was a bad cold for a couple days and now we're good. So there was a weird thing that happened. I felt just like that, just a bad cold, really no other symptoms other than that. And then I had it on like Saturday. It was when it was the onset, and then Sunday, I would say, was it Tuesday night or something? I'm already like basically feeling better. But like I made myself a cup of coffee, and as I'm making the coffee, like I'm like sniffing around the house, around the kitchen, because I smelled a faint burning smell and I'm trying to figure it out. But it was so faint that I was like, okay, maybe I'm just going crazy. And so then I made my coffee, and then I sat down on the couch and I smelled my coffee. Burnt water was the only smell, just like basic burning smell. Did not smell like coffee whatsoever. I handed it over to my wife and I'm like, does this smell like coffee? Like, I don't know. I've never had like coffee go bad before like this, but maybe like, she's like, no, it smells like your coffee always smells. I'm like, weird. I take a sip, again, just like carbon burning, burnt water is all it tasted like, nothing else. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this has got to be a COVID thing. And I look it up, and apparently, like partial loss of smell and or taste is popular as losing it altogether. It's as a symptom of COVID. It's not as popular a symptom now as it was when COVID first started, but it's a little bit of an upswing, and a lot of people are getting this partial situation. And apparently coffee in particular is a very popular thing to lose. And it all has to do with like the chemicals that you're actually sensing. And coffee just has that combination that it changes for people. And then there's been things that I have noticed that like there's some stuff that smells and tastes perfectly normal, maybe a little bit muted. My wife had served broccoli for dinner, and we just had raw broccoli. And I have like broccoli, which has like a fart smell to it, right? like jamming it, like it's on my nose. Nothing.
Oh man.
Absolutely nothing. I eat it, nothing. So,
dude,
it is weird. There's been a few things. Drove through McDonald's to get Baja Blast Zero, and I didn't get any food at that point in time last week. But like sitting at the drive-thru and waiting for my drink while I'm paying, the scent coming out of Taco Bell had that exact same, just like generic burn smell that coffee had. Did not smell like Taco Bell. It just smelled like burn.
Wow. So is that enough to make you not want those foods and to bail on them entirely? Broccoli.
Yeah, I have not coffee. Had coffee since. Yeah.
I was going to say, if you have any like tubs of Folgers in the basement somewhere, now would be a great time if you're just going to push through and drink them anyway, since right. you do like your coffee. Exactly. Ugh, I'm sorry, yeah. Man.
But yeah, physically, you feel another shot now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, perfect time to give Starbucks the old second try. But other than that, you have no physical, just the
food. No, I'm good. No. I'm back to normal. Just the I feel like maybe this the smelling thing is starting to come back, or maybe that's just like my brain being like, hey, let's try to remember some of this stuff. I don't know what it is, but it's not. I feel like it's not as pronounced as it once as so it was bizarre. That day.
It's like such a weird mixture of symptoms you heard about for years. Like I very much had the foggy brain for at least like a week, that I could just normal stuff people would ask me that I'm just like, I'll circle back to you. Give me a minute. Just, it was really super delayed trying to come up with normal, you know, normal responses to things. Really interesting. Glad it's coming back. Hopefully the Taco Bell and coffee thing gets fixed for you soon.
Word up.
Dylan and I's cousin that we've had on the podcast before, the PA episode, I no way I'm going to be able to pull up quickly what episode number that was. But she was saying that they're seeing a lot of things that are having very similar symptoms right now. So because of the time of year we're in, it's really hard to tell the difference between COVID, common cold, bronchitis, blah, 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 blah. And she said things are lingering for a lot longer. So if somebody is getting a cold or bronchitis, viral or bacteria, it's staying for a really long time. And so people are freaking out because the symptoms are very close and we're not sure what it is. I had viral bronchitis on its way to bacterial. I had like, you know, you'd exhale and you'd hear like crackling and a deep throaty like nastiness. That was episode 68. Thank you very much, Dylan. And it just sounds like a really bad rasp from your lungs, which is actually in your throat and in your head. But anyway, yeah, there's just a lot of weird stuff going around. I'm glad it wasn't serious, but we are excited for you to get your smell and taste back.
I'm almost afraid to like try coffee again and just like be sad and disappointed because I love coffee. And it has occurred to me like a couple times, like just make a cup, try it. Yeah. Like, no, I don't want to do it yet.
Well, before we get into some things that we are streaming both on our video game consoles and on our televisions, I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on this. So you guys know I get my sports news from my wife, and she was saying, have you heard about these rival sports leagues? So I think it first started with the, I think it's called the LIV Golf Series, which is a Saudi-backed professional golf organization that is rivaling the PGA Tour. And a lot of major, major golfers are switching over. And the PGA Tour said that they were going to invoke all kinds of extra fines and stuff if you jumped ship. And I thought it was crazy. There's been tons written on it. I've not dove into it, but I want to hear what you guys' thoughts on it are. And then I heard that it's happening in MMA too. So like these foreign nations are financially backing a rival to UFC. And Dana White is unhappy because all of his fighters are thinking about moving over to this organization. But the benefit to this is it keeps you honest. If you are one of these long time, you know, there was no rival really to the PGA Tour. And you've got hundreds of thousands of executives who work for these organizations making God knows how much money in marketing and communications and all this. So in a way, isn't it kind of like the equivalent of like this scrappy little startup run by millennials that takes down these big, like, old organizations? Thoughts? Have you heard about it? Do you know what's going on? And is USFL season two one of these things as well? Or are we just bringing back a 40-year-old thing that happened back in the 80s? I don't know. I just wanted to stoke the fire.
I'll jump in. I've not heard about the rival golf and MMA leagues, but obviously I would be aware of, like, it's happened in wrestling for a long time. You have USL, XFL, CFL, indoor arena football, all against the NFL. You've got, so like, I would be aware of some other examples of different competing leagues and things. My gut reaction is if you really want to stay the incumbent, you'll take the best of what's coming out of the startup and you'll incorporate it and you'll kill off the startup if you want to stay the incumbent. And if not, like, you'll see like the XFL is going to do some things that the NFL might be unwilling to do. And then let's see what that does for the XFL. If they can speed up these games and eliminate, not literally every commercial, like it has to be paid for, but if they can eliminate a lot of the commercials and they can speed up the game with other rules and things that make sense, and more power to the XFL. Let's see what happens with season two. So I think it's interesting. Like, do the behemoth incumbents learn and adapt, or do they just go blah 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 blah? This is how we've always done it, you know. And they don't take anything away from it.
So you're saying if the up and comers are going to up and come with a value proposition different from the old guard,
right?
The old guard could adopt that feature. Or benefit. I'm sorry, I don't know what's playing music. Could just roll that feature or perk or side benefit or cool gimmicky thing into their model and see if it works.
Yeah, and maybe not literally everything. Like, but if it's stuff like rule changes that make a sport work better or more entertaining, if it's stuff like that can be easily changed, then why not? Like, look how quickly college football started changing when money in playoffs came up again. And now all of a sudden, we're not only getting playoffs, now we're getting them a year or two sooner than we were going to, and 12 team, you know. And so it's like when something starts to be threatened, like the NCAA can either allow change to happen or not. And so you're seeing the NCAA change. And it's really interesting. And so if these other tour golf and MMA leagues are doing something really interesting that the PGA Tour is not, then that gives them an opportunity to try to learn and take something from it.
Yeah. There is a, that's a good, that's a really important piece of the discussion. The live or live golf, I don't know. I've been saying live golf. What all of the naysayers, which I may be one, I don't know where I stand on it. And I know just enough to basically grasp what's going on there is that they're Saudi backed, right? Is that?
Yep.
And so that's the drum that's getting beat is that they're supported by this country and, oh, look at the, you know, look at the human rights violations and things like that. And all of that stuff is bad and certainly a worthy cause to stand up against. But, I mean, I think if we're honest with ourselves, that's not the problem that the PGA has, even though that's the drum that the PGA is trying to beat.
Yeah.
That's not why they're fining players for getting involved. They're doing that because they don't want competition. Right. Like they're doing it because they don't want to spend more dollars.
Yeah.
And that's part of their problem with something like this is that it's not the up and comer coming up and trying new things. It is the one that has all of the cash that it could ever possibly need. They need to go through the growing pains of making decisions, but they don't have to worry about money.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It is live, LIV live. They've already seduced, in the words of this article, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter, and plenty of others with more high profile stars tipped to follow suit. Mickelson paid $200 million just for switching. And they're offering contracts, which the PGA Tour was, I guess, not, or they were short contracts, or not sure how that works.
Yeah, so they're trying to buy golfers from the PGA Tour. That's exactly what they're doing.
Are they doing this with any sort of like better, more unique golf courses, like? Is it a rule? Are they offering better, more unique rules? Are they allowing them to use different clubs and balls that the PGA Tour won't let them use? I mean, is there some other thing that LIV is offering that makes this compelling? Or is there just Middle East money that they're just throwing, you know, oil money that they're like, we can pay you more, and that's the end?
It's a great question. I don't know, but I love the idea that it's more and more like Mario Golf and you can get like power-ups and
yeah,
that's really fun.
My guess is if they're smart, they're at least trying to market themselves as something that's a slightly different in a better way than the PGA. But I don't know enough about, I don't follow golf.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it either. I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on it in concept. And that's exactly the level I wanted to get you guys' thoughts at. There's also, and I know neither of you are big on the social media apps, but I've been playing with a new social media app called Be Real. And have you heard of this one? Be Real? Okay, so here's why I like it. So we all have a superficial friend on social media that takes a lot of selfies from a really high angle with all the makeup on. Right. So, yeah. So, and if I am that friend for you, I know.
Hi.
So the premise of Be Real is quite interesting. Okay. A couple things. You only get to see the feed if you've posted first. The feed, you have to post within inside of the 2 minutes that you got the alert to post. Now you can post past the 2 minute cutoff. It'll just say Kendall posted late, and it'll say by how much you posted late. But the fun of it, in quotes, is that you're supposed to do it in the first 2 minutes. When you post, it takes a photo of your face as well as whatever you're shooting. So you can't just take a picture of your desk or the scenery that you're looking at. It's also going to take a picture back at you. And then the third and most interesting thing to me is it tells your friends how many times you deleted the photo and tried again. So the premise is that it's like all about being authentic and being real and quit trying to like make your life look more impressive than it might be, or only the positive things. I just thought it was interesting.
So I'm hearing I need to throw on my Louis Vuitton and then download the app and set up an account and be like, oh, hey, you caught me off guard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't exactly prepared to record right now.
Yeah. So far, I only have like 12 or 15 friends on it, but I thought it was really interesting. And it's cool because Sherry and I's nephews are on there, and it's really fun to just see their lives, and they'll take it in class or on their way to class and whatever they're doing. So it's more of that behind the scenes feel than what people would put on the front page of their social media pages. It's kind of interesting.
Hey guys, just in the middle of a hot dog sandwich. What are you up to?
But you know me, I fall for these social media gimmicks. Do you know the last time I was on Clubhouse? When we talked about it on this podcast like 50 episodes ago.
Man, I haven't all about that.
I haven't been back on it since, but I was all about it for like 3 weeks. Anyway.
Yep. They tried to get everyone with the buy invitation only. It felt really sexy early on. And then it just, you're like, I don't even like hearing myself talk that much. Why do I want to hear other people talk that much?
We're trying to get off of conference calls, not join more of them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Very cool.
Dylan, you watching the World Cup and playing some FIFA over there?
I am watching a little bit of World Cup. I'm watching it. And so interestingly, obviously, we've talked about how I'm a total amateur. I'm learning. I don't really know anything, but I'm enjoying this World Cup ride that we are on like Aladdin and Jasmine. And I was getting my oil changed the other day, and the local place where I got it changed has a whole inside area of like snacks and drinks and TVs and like, but a nice version. And so you actually don't mind getting your oil changed. And so I'm in there, I grab the remote. I know that World Cup's going to be on. I turn it on. And then one of the sales guys comes over, who's apparently a football fan, and won't stop talking so I can watch or learn anything while he wants to talk to me about what's happening in the game. And so I was so frustrated because I'm like, I know I'm going to be here for at least 45 minutes. I can watch the end of this soccer game in peace, and I got to watch none of it in peace because he wanted to tell. Oh, yeah, the reason you can't do that is because it's the face beforehand rule, and you can't. You know, I'm like, I just let the commentators will explain it for my benefit. That's what they're there for. So I'm trying to watch as much as I can.
They wear shorts because pants would get too hot.
Yeah. They don't care for the pants. Not when they're playing soccer. And so I'm having fun trying to watch what I can, but I did finally get, FIFA. And actually, to be fair, I've had FIFA 23 for about a week. For anybody that likes to nerd out, I got it for PS5. I bought a 2 terabyte hard drive to install into the PS5 because every game is like 2 gigs now that you want to download. And so I got a 2 terabyte that I installed, and I was waiting because then I could say, hey, console, put my PS5 games on the 2 terabyte hard drive, put like PS4 and game data on the internal original one. So I finally got the SSD, got it installed. I got the game, I got it uploaded. And I had to, the very first game I had to play on FIFA 23 was a home game for AFC Richmond so that I could see Coach Ted Lasso on the sidelines.
Yes, sir.
Play with all my friends. And boy, did we play Wrexham, and we had a great knockdown, throwdown. It was so much fun. I scored multiple goals with Jamie Tartt. I scored with Roy Kent and Obisanya. And I tried with McAdoo, but man, I couldn't get him up there near the goal. So it was a bunch of fun playing FIFA. And yeah, it's probably exactly the last game, but I just bought it again because I wanted AFC Richmond and I waited for a Black Friday deal. So win-win. I have Wrexham. I have AFC Richmond. And I'm going to keep playing FIFA 23 because it's awesome.
We have talked about how much we love Ted Lasso almost more than we talk about how much we love Pete and Sebastian. But I just finished season two of Ted Lasso, and it's just, I was crying on the airplane. I was telling everybody that would listen how wholesome and endearing the show is. And yeah, you brought up Obasanya. Sam had quite the season in that show. But anyway, are you watching any Premier League? So I was just hearing that Arsenal is like tearing it up and leading the Premier League standings, like 12-1-1. So I don't know when the World Cup is over, are you going to go back into Premier League and who are you going to follow?
Well, I got to find something. So I think we talked about on the podcast. So when Disney Plus came out, they had an option for nerds like me that wanted to prepay for 3 years in advance for like $4 and some change a month. So of course I did that because I wasn't going to miss any Star Wars or Marvel stuff for 3 years. Well, that came up, and then I had the option of doing the bundle with Hulu, which we already have, and ESPN Plus, which we now have. And so I'm excited. It was good timing for that kind of 3 year thing to come up, because now we have Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. And I think that'll get me access to some of those soccer games that I would normally get to see internationally, I think. Yeah. So I am excited. I'm not going to try to jump in yet. I want to keep watching World Cup because I think they're doing a good job at commentating at a very base level for all the people that are watching it.
Yeah, good point.
And I think as soon as I start getting into some of the stuff that's on like ESPN Plus deep late at night, weird hours, I'm not going to have as good of commentary geared towards global masses versus like who the hell's up watching this at 4 a.m., you know, Eastern Standard Time when it's Czechoslovakian team and a Greek team, right? Yeah. So I'm just trying to like take in the World Cup as I can, and then I'll have to figure out what I'm going to do from there. But
and I think like Tubi TV is playing every past game of the World Cup. Is it Tubi? One of the streamers.
Yeah, I think it's Tubi, and Tubi is free. So like,
yeah,
that's a great one, a free app to go back and watch all kinds of stuff.
I was watching some World Cup coverage on the airplane on live TV, and like Chad Ochocinco is one of the analysts for the World Cup. Like at the end of each day, it was so bizarre.
Yeah.
Anyway, why
not? It's their way to try to like pull that NFL audience because it's still our biggest sport, and so they're just like, who can we get that like happens to be a soccer fan that's likable enough that they can stand up here and talk about soccer for a few hours?
Yeah.
And so that's what they did. And it probably worked. Also, didn't you tell me you just finished something else?
Yeah, I finished Andor. We've been watching that as a family. Man, that's some good Star Wars television. Finished season two of Ted Lasso. And then watched three movies. I told you guys I've been wanting to watch the Idris Elba Jaws with a Lion, The Beast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I finally got to watch that over two flights. It was Jaws with a Lion, you guys. It's exactly exactly as advertised. It's quite good. He's protecting his two daughters, and so you know it was interesting and it was good. But I discovered a new genre of movie and a new director. So you know, I watch Bad Friends, the podcast with Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino. Andrew Santino said that one of his favorite black/dark comedies over the last 10 years is a film called Force Majeure by a Swedish director named Ruben Östlund. And he went on and on and on about these Östlund films and how hilarious they are. And I take it very seriously when people use the word hilarious. And if a stand-up comic is saying these movies are hilarious, I take special note. So he has a whole slew of movies. Think of it like the Christopher Guest films. Those are more surface level funny, but he has a whole like line of films that are exactly like that, just set in different settings. So Ruben Östlund is this super, super dry, super dark black comedy. On the surface, most people would just think it's a weird art house film. Like, it's, why do you watch this? It's not funny. But there's so much like happening below the surface. So I think sort of what he likes about directing these films is, and the way that I sort of would package them to try to sell it to somebody is like, what's the minimum amount of something that could happen to make somebody fall apart? And so like in the first one, a guy takes his family on a ski trip. And on the first or second day of this beautiful resort destination ski trip, there's a small avalanche from the mountains coming to an outdoor restaurant seating area where he and his family are sitting. And when the small avalanche comes their way, he takes off and his wife grabs the kids and like covers them up. This happens at the beginning of the movie and it sets off a ripple effect through the movie of the wife's disrespect. She's lost so much respect for her husband because in a moment where he had a chance to prove himself, he just grabbed his phone and bailed. And his kids sort of can't look at him the same. And so it's this like really obscure Swedish dark sort of film about this. And it's just, it's very interesting. And then the second one I watched is called The Square, about a fancy art director. And that one sort of bleeds into social commentary on the rich and these like billionaire types and how thin they actually are as people. And he's got a new one that's in theaters right now called Triangle of Sadness that is another sort of social commentary on wealthy elites and the folly of wealthy elites. So super interesting, something different. If you're up for something a little more unique and off the beaten path, I recommend Force Majeure as a great place to start. And then if you like that, maybe pick up some other Östlund films. And then Sherry and I watched Where the Crawdads Sing, which is a book that I've heard a lot of good things about over the last couple of years and is now streaming on Netflix. So we checked that out. Very interesting story. Most commonly asked question about that film, is this based on real life events? The answer is no, but it is still very good. I'm sure everyone will say that the book is better, but the film was good too. So that's what I'm up to.
You know what I like to say when people say that? The book is only better if I was going to read it. So
there you go. There you
if
go.
I wasn't going to read it, the book isn't better.
Kendall, you streaming anything other than bad coffee?
Just wrestling. Just wrestling is all I've had an opportunity to do. You can't underestimate how much time that takes up of one's life. That's twice a week, two episodes a week. They're 90 minutes each. Mm-hmm. So like, and that's like, that's stream time is 90 minutes each.
Yeah.
So no, I mean, I still I haven't finished Andor, but I'll go back to that. I also have started Brockmire. You guys heard of that?
No.
It's on Hulu. It's on Hulu, I think.
Okay.
The premise is
Hank Azaria.
Mm-hmm. He's a sports broadcaster, radio broadcaster. And the premise is his wife leaves him and he goes on this awful rant on air and loses his job. And then he kind of like is now just this depressed, angry old guy who 10 years later found a job in a small town doing the live in stadium broadcast for like a local baseball club. And yeah, it's funny so far. I've only seen a few episodes, but that's definitely one that I'll be at some point getting back into. With Brockmire, and there's something else that I kind of
have you tried Severance? I seem to pique your interest with the plug for Severance. Have you started?
No, okay. No, I haven't.
Just to add a little detail there, it is on Hulu. It looks like it's originally on AMC, but there's four seasons with 32 episodes on Hulu.
Wow.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
somebody wants something that they can actually like sit and watch more than a season, that's definitely it.
Yeah. That's what I like when I'm looking for something. I like to look for something that has at least three seasons. Like if it's a current show, I want to go back a few yeah. seasons
yeah.
and have some time to watch some stuff before I get disappointed and have to play the waiting game. So I look for that. And that was one that I found that I had several seasons to look at.
Anything noteworthy going on in the world of wrestling?
They're just starting to push the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
And so things are going to start heading in that direction. Kofi Kingston has been the first person to declare for the Royal Rumble. That's going to be going on. Their Saudi Arabia trip just happened a month ago, maybe something like that. Logan Paul was involved with that.
Is Kofi still with the New Day, or are they not a thing?
Yeah, anymore? Yeah, okay. New Day is still kicking.
Do they still throw pancakes?
Sami Zayn is in the Bloodline.
No,
he's an honorary Uso.
Uso.
So that's a thing. It's it's the Uso guys, and then Sammy. They call him Sammy Uso.
Sammy Uso. That's awesome.
I think that's probably the most tickling thing that's going on.
What's Becky doing?
She's she took some time out for an injury. She is recently back. Is
she still heel?
No, she's turning back. Back. So, okay. Which I love because she's one of my favorite, not female wrestlers, wrestlers. One of my favorite.
Yeah, we still need to get you a The Man t-shirt.
A hat. I'm not a
okay
graphic tee guy, but a hat or something.
Okay.
So. I'll get if I go to a thing, I'll get a hat. That's my.
How fun would it be if we all three got tickets to WWE in Columbus?
I want to go. I'm going to go someday. I am.
Let's do it. Let's freaking go. All right, guys. If you have ideas of how Dylan and I should eat the foods that we hate, a fun way to make that interactive next time we're in person, let us know. In the meantime, reach out. We love hearing from you. Ask questions. If you have an idea for a theme or a topic you want us to discuss, we're still doing Answers from the Middle. So reach out at fromthemiddle@protonmail.com or on any of our social media channels. Links are always in the description below on the best ways to reach out to us. We have a phone number. You can call or text, all the things. And you know what? I'm rocking some amazing Artious Man products right now. I'm using the Beard Balm and I've been using a straightener. It's a lovely combination. Artiousman.com. Fill your cart with all kinds of good things. Beard and men's grooming related, and use promo code THEMIDDLE at checkout, THEMIDDLE, to get 25% off of your first order. Get those things just in time for Christmas, including but not limited to their soy blend wood wick candles. I highly recommend them. I've got 3 or 5 in the office right now, not on or going, but available. It's good catching up with you guys. I missed hanging out, and we'll see you next time.